Before we go to our major agenda item, we have...
Can I just...
Oh, yes, please. Oh, please, Bill, please.
Help. There's only three of us on the retreat planning committee. We really could use some more help because we're envisioning a board that has some homework, station management center, some homework, and all of that. So, and then there's just all the logistical stuff. There are just three of us, and so if anyone else is interested in working with us on the planning, let us know after the meeting or when we get ready for something.
Please.
Who are the three? Israel, Jane, and myself.
Thank you very much. Now, just before we go to our next agenda item, I'm hoping we can do this in a split second. Would you look at this paper, which says at the top, LSC meeting, the members of the upright chair, this is only procedural. It's this one. We have tons of them if anyone doesn't have a copy. Okay. This is just procedural.
Come over this way.
Okay, thank you. And we should be able to do this very quickly. There are only three kinds of meetings, and they are regular, adjourned, and special. You can read on your own the opening statement, but look at the motion at the very bottom. Moved that the LSB on Tuesday, July 13, 2004, ratified the call of this meeting by the chair and acknowledged that the LSB expected and agreed to the calling of such meeting by the chair, inasmuch as the body adjourned its last meeting without setting a specific date, time, and venue for this meeting. Has it been moved? Seconded? The question's been called for. Well, let's just see. Is there any discussion? Okay, the question's been called for. We have no discussion. We can go directly to a vote. Those in favor of this motion, raise your cards.
No, you don't have to. Raise your cards if you're ready. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Opposed?
14. Oh, great. Anybody opposed? 1, 2, 2.
Okay, thank you. That kind of gives us clarity that you did actually expect this meeting to happen in a regular way. Let's go to the agenda. Agenda item 2, process for establishing a community advisory board. And before we go to that, I'll just tell listener sponsors that it is a mandate that LSBs in the Five Signal areas create community advisory boards that will advise us, and the thrust is to have communities on that board from traditionally underrepresented or unrepresented communities.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go to a team that has been working on this. Let's open the discussion with concrete proposals. Chair recognizes Bill Gallegos.
I was trying to group. Julie Rodriguez and I met to, based on authorization or information from the last board meeting, to talk about the diversity issue for the CAP. And we developed the proposal that you was distributed to you tonight. And I would ask you to ignore the, I think it's on the first page, there's some suggested interview questions. Okay, the interview questions we're proposing are actually this form that's on the back pages. Okay? So, and we were trying to think of something that would be inclusive and also able to take care of business without being unwieldy. And so that's where we came up with a size of 12 people. We thought that would be a sufficient number of people to allow for inclusiveness, inclusivity, while also being a manageable size. And that's strictly up to us. There's no mandated size for the community advisory board. And then we thought about the composition with regard to the strong sentiment from the board that we really want diversity to be central to the composition of this board. And that's where we came up with the proposal that we did, that 9 seats be allocated for representatives from the three from the African American community, three from the Latino Latina community, and three from the Asian Pacific Islander community. We subsequently received some feedback from Marie Arguinian about the representation of South Asian, Middle Eastern, and Muslim communities, and we think that we should think about that the other three seats be set aside for those representatives from those communities. And then we recommended a set, this was based on kind of the feedback we got from the public comment and the discretion of the board about the considerations that we should have in making the selections from those different communities, to include someone from the disabled community, some folks from the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender communities, young people, folks, labor activists, cultural activists. There was a whole range of things that we've included in here that would allow for a fairly broad range of diversity within a commitment to including the communities that have been historically and currently underrepresented at most levels, I guess at all levels, of Pacifica. So that was our thinking, and subsequent to this going out, we got some feedback, and there was some concern, not so much about the actual diversity proposal, which was really, I think, already heartened by that, but the process for selection. And we got feedback both from board members and listener sponsors, and we want to make a different proposal from what's in here. And our proposal is that this board set up a committee to recommend a slate for the CAB that would be led and composed of the members of color from this board and led by members of color from this board, and that we would make a recommendation for whatever number we finally decide on, taking into account all the criteria that are in the proposal to this board for selection, rather than going through the more time-consuming and cumbersome process of all the interviews, and also taking into account that since the board here is primarily Euro-American, it would be much more difficult, given if we want to place the diversity that we're recommending at the center of this, for folks to have those kinds of recommendations. So that's and just some background to this, and I'd like to just give it to Julie for some, because she did a lot of work on looking at demographics and thinking through the kind of inquiry process that we used.
Yeah, the only other thing that I want to add is just that we did do some pretty deep demographic research in looking at the coverage area for KPFK. Then we also looked at kind of the composition of the current board and how we can begin to reconcile some of the diversity issues that had come up previously in the LSB elections. And so we felt like the CAB would be a perfect opportunity to begin to provide that that avenue for the commitment to diversity that, that Pacifica states clearly in its, you know, preamble, mission statement, and those sorts of things. And so we did do it very much based on demographics and just trying to figure out how, again, to bring that representation in a way that, that provides, you know, inclusivity from other constituencies and communities, but as well as, you know, giving the opportunities for folks from communities of color to be participating members in all of this. And so I think that, I mean, just in the spirit that we sort of wrote this proposal, that we're open, and we thank those folks who have offered some suggestions and more importantly, workable solutions of how we can kind of make this possible. And so I guess we're just kind of looking for continued guidance in that process and figuring out how we can really make this work. We do think it will help to provide the diversity that we all have hoped to achieve and bring into the station, not only in terms of ethnic diversity, but also, as Bill mentioned, diversity within the gay and lesbian community, young people, you know, disabled communities, you know, folks from just different areas as well. And so figuring out how it is that we begin to broaden our governance structure and our work.
Yeah, and just, I mean, we just think that we could really create a model here that would be outstanding for all of Pacifica. And I know, you know, Margaret and Marie are also on this, but just unavoidably, you know, weren't able to participate in some of this discussion, but I know they've given a lot of thought to this as well.
You know, because there are other members who have worked on this, I'm actually going to allow two people to speak first who have been a part of this. Then I have a stack. So Maria and Margaret, if they have... Well, you're not. Well, it's not Maria. It's Margaret. Was it just Margaret? The only other member?
No, Marie Deary.
Oh, Marie Deary, who's not here tonight.
She's here.
Yeah, Maria is here. Oh, my gosh. No, I didn't see you, Marie. I'm sorry. I think the chair is going to recognize Margaret and then Marie before we go to comments by board members.
Yeah, just... really wanted to thank Bill and Julie for the work they did. Many may remember this was an issue that I, you know, I raised at the last board meeting, and unfortunately had to be out of town at the time the meeting happened. It was totally unavoidable. We did talk about it, and I thought that it was important enough and that there was certainly enough trust in, you know, Marie and Bill, you know, being fundamentally on the same page that, you know, I felt the meeting could proceed and a proposal be made without actually, you know, having to be there. So I just wanted to support the proposal that's come forward and the work that has gone into it, and also to remind the board that one of the things that we want to be mindful of when we think about race and diversity and representation is that it's also important that we are looking at people who are grounded and accountable to a specific community. I think all of us know that we live in a world now that the color of your skin doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that you're moving in the right direction. You just have to look at Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice to know that that is indeed the case. So rather than looking at people who perhaps are, you know, individuals with good ideas, since it is a community advisory board supposed to be representing a community, that we actually consider in the interview process people who are grounded in their specific communities and who, you know, have shown some effort at working, you know, within their own communities and therefore in that sense represent some kind of constituency, as opposed to one individual voice. Not that there's anything wrong with one individual voice, but I think, you know, that is really within the spirit of the cabinet of itself. So I just wanted to support their efforts and their work.
Thank you. And Marie, did you have a comment?
No, I will pass, but I sincerely agree with Margaret.
Very good. All right, now we have a stack that will go to around this. Maria, Jane, I'm actually for the first time going to call, I've never done this before, I'm going to call on myself and relinquish the chair. Alan, Leslie, Jan, Ed, Israel, okay, Sherna, Harrison,
Dave Adelson. Harrison, are
you in
staff?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Is it 2 minutes?
No, yeah, we'll have to set a time limit. You're our keeper of the time. 2 minute max. Okay. Maria.
First of all, thank you. As I said in the email to you, I really, really, really appreciate how much work you guys put into this. You have recommended 12 members be designated for the CAB. 3 from the African American, 3 from the Latino community, 3 from the Pacific Islander, than the Asian Pacific Islander community. That's 9 seats, at least 3 seats. And if we decide that we want to also include Native Americans, this is what I wrote to you. It wasn't just Middle Easterners. There's Native Americans that I think we need to consider. There are East Asians that are not Pacific Islanders. There are West Asians, which include some of the Middle Easterners. And then there are South Asians, which include Pakistan and India and those areas. And these are people who are habitually left out. Habitually. And I really worry that their voices don't get heard. The other thing that always concerns me is, and I don't know how to do this, so you guys hopefully can help me out. Sometimes these communities are truly minorities. Like there may be in a community 5 Native Americans, for example, but there isn't enough of a demographic for anybody to pay attention to them, and therefore their voices are completely squashed. And so I want to see KPFK listen to those communities that don't even have enough representation to show up in the census. And I actually see it all the time in my work, because they don't have a voice, they don't get heard in the legislature, because they don't have enough members that are registered to vote in the quantities that they need, nobody gives a care about them. And these are the things that also disturb me whenever we're trying to put together a community advisory board. that is truly going to take into consideration minorities. There are minorities that don't even have enough numbers that are going to register on our screen.
Thank you. Was that 2 minutes?
Under
2 minutes.
Yes, under 2 minutes.
Okay. Keeping in mind that if we go through this stack at 2 minutes, that's 20 more minutes of comments, so we're really going to, we may have to reconsider a minute and a half.
Well, you look at that in mind since we bumped over me twice now?
Let's see where we are on the agenda item. We gave this agenda item 45 minutes. When did we begin this agenda item?
7:50.
But I still have some time from when you forgot about me on the first stack.
No, I didn't forget about you, Jane.
I was on the first stack before this stack.
Yeah, Jane, please. I am not going to detract. I'm just wondering if we have the time.
I just want to know how much time you have left.
That's what I was trying to determine. How much time do we have left on this agenda item? We gave it for you. Well, let's be thinking of that. Next is Jane.
Okay, two things, Bill. One, I just wanted to suggest homeless. And I'm absolutely serious about that. I work in the homeless community and they'll show up. Here's what else I want to know. Are you suggesting that we get a committee from here and then that will take the LSP as a whole body away from doing all this interviewing, that the committee will take care of that? Great. And then are you suggesting that how are the nominations going to take place? Bill, hello? How are people going to be nominated to be part of
this? I think that we had decided on self-nominations. I mean, we hadn't really given a lot of emphasis to that. It was more the interview process would be the process through which we'd be able to identify candidates that were, as Margaret had mentioned, truly representative of the community and truly dedicated to the commission.
Is your plan to put this on the KPFK and have people just self-nominate, or do we as LSP members have the right to nominate as well?
Yeah, I think we have
to. Yeah, we could nominate also.
Did you finish, Jane?
I did.
Okay, I'm going to relinquish the chair. I normally don't do this, but I'm going to give the chair to Maria. First of all, I do want to thank you. I've talked with some of the task force members in advance. One, I think we need a higher number on this tab. It's incredible the rich diversity that's reflected in your report. But with only 12 members, it's not going to happen. Even in the Spanish-speaking, Spanish-surname community, Mexicanos, Salvadoreños, people from the Dominican Republic, people from Chile, it's a very diverse community, even within
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, Puerto Rico, viva. So the other thing is, I believe your new proposal does not include the possibility of public rejection. Is that true? The problem that some of us have with the original proposal was that people could be nominated, interviewed, and kind of publicly considered, and then rejected, which sends a message to their organization, to them personally, and to that whole community that is not healthy for the KPFK board to send. And the last thing, well, I think I'll end it there.
I mean, I think there's some, you know, it's obviously a difficult process because there are a lot of underrepresented groups. We will have to make some hard choices. There's no question about it. We cannot include everybody. I mean, unless we want to see a V of 1,000 people, there are going to be groups that are left off. And we have to think about this as one of many forms within Pacifica, within KPFK, in which we have to change the composition and improve the diversity. We're not going to do it all with a cab. And so I think if we even think that that's where it's going to happen, that ain't going to happen. But we did want to say that there's three major communities, and this is not to belittle any other communities, but the Black community, the Brown community, and the Asian community that historically has long roots here, has historically been the most oppressed communities and has been historically underrepresented at all levels in Pacifica. So we wanted to just be clear, and it's true, you know, there's a whole range of Latinos, and we're probably may not find, you know, the Brazilians or something. I don't know. But we'll just have to do our best. But if we left off the Mexicano community, Chicano-Mexicano community, we should get kicked in the ass.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Because it's 65% of the Latino community.
That's right.